You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson. Sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. This is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week, I am super fortunate to be joined by experts all around Oxfordshire who share their story and share real insight into the world of business here in Oxfordshire. And today is going to be no different. We are going to be joined by Hayley Lucas of Athena Accountants and Business Advisors. And we're going to be talking about all things accountancy, women in business, being a young entrepreneur, balancing family life. And I'm sure there's going to be lots and lots of business advice along the way. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I really look forward to welcoming Hayley after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Hope you enjoyed that song. So today I'm really, really delighted to be joined by Hayley Lucas of Athena Accountants and Business Advisors. Welcome, Hayley.
Hi.
So thanks so much for joining me today. So can you just start, for those who don't know you, can you just tell them a little bit about you and indeed your background?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a chartered accountant. I qualified in 2012 and I'm a mum. I have three boys, single mum, so life's busy, as you can probably guess. I run my own accountancy firm, like you said, Athena Accountants and Business Advisors. We are based in Oxfordshire, but we operate with clients all over the UK. We're fully remote, and I have staff. I have a team member up in Scotland, so we reach far and wide. So Athena's been going for 8 years now, and we work with clients of all shapes and sizes, from one-man bands right up to global multi-million pound turnover companies. And really our bread and butter is acting as a virtual finance department for clients. Amazing. So doing absolutely everything with them, and really honing in on the business advisory side of things. So virtual finance director, cash flows, budgets, forecast, strategizing, attending board meetings. And that's really where my skills are best placed. So that's been going 8 years. I'm also a massive advocate for female empowerment and female entrepreneurs. Even though I'm a boy mum, I work a lot with women. So I also run a business called Flock, and it's a business clinic for women. And we focus on growth, teaching them how to grow their businesses, setting them up with a network of like-minded women that they can collaborate with, and getting in specialists to give them advice and teaching them really how to run a really successful business. So yeah, very busy, but love it. And Flock is very new. It only launched in February, so it's in its infancy, but it's really exciting.
Amazing, amazing. Lots of exciting things to talk about. Yes. Over the next hour there. So thank you. So the most difficult question that I ask every guest every week is always okay. Their song choice. So let's start with your song choice. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer because I work with women. I encourage female empowerment and strong women. So it's obviously got to be Who Run the World, Beyonce. And I love Beyonce.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Today, I am absolutely delighted to be joined by Hayley Lucas. So following that great song choice as well, very fitting, Hayley. We heard about Hayley's story of setting up Athena Accountants and Business Advisors, and indeed the new venture around female empowerment, which is really, really important and really topical on the show at the moment. So thank you. So let's start with the world of accountancy. So I think like a big thing that I hear a lot when running this show and in the world of business is business people do the compliance. Everybody should certainly legally need to do their tax return or whatever else. Mm-hmm. But do business owners really understand their numbers as well as they should?
Typically, no. And that's kind of where we step in as a business. We're trying to be kind of a very different kind of accountancy practice where I'm very much not just compliance based. We're all about creating a relationship with the client so we become part of their business rather than just a professional advisor. So rather than us just telling them this is what you need, what needs to be done, and we're going to do it for you, we really help them to understand, because it's really important for business owners to understand the numbers so that they can make those strategic decisions during the course of running their business. Otherwise, they're kind of leading it blindly.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I think one of the things we heard in a past show, which I think always really resonated, is that we all set up our business because we really wanted to work in recruitment, or really wanted to work in football, or really wanted to work in hairdressing, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But actually, very few of us set up our hairdressing business because we wanted to do the numbers. So it's really, really interesting, those different skills that you bring into the business. Yeah. So can you just kind of talk through what the process would be for a client to work with you? And I appreciate it's not necessarily a one size fits all, but I think that often what we see is that if we don't know any different to our current accountant, we probably wouldn't know what some of the extra things you could cover. So talk to me about what would a typical client, I guess, get from you guys, and what would be that process of working across the year of accounts?
So really, like you said, it is very different for each client. And what we tend to focus on is what are their current pain points, what's going wrong at the moment, and where's their end goal? So where do they want to be eventually? And then filling in the gaps. We get a lot of referrals in, inquiries in, sorry, from people who say they just only speak to people who are doing their accounts once a year. The advice is very reactive rather than proactive. And that's just not helpful. So typically when you have your year-end accounts done, they could be up to like 18 months out of date, those numbers, on average. So that's really not helpful to help them make decisions now. So with a typical client, we'll go in, we'll look at the processes they've got in place, see if there's any automation or efficiencies that we can put in to make things run a bit better. We'll have a look at their numbers and see if there's anything that jumps out from like a tax efficiency point of view, or if there's cost savings that can be made, if things can be set up slightly differently. So for example, if they rent vans, is it going to be better for them to buy some vans if they've got the money there? So look at their reserves, definitely look at the structure of how things are set up at the moment. Is it useful to bring in spouses? Should we set up parent subsidiary companies, things like that? So it's really just taking a real overview of the whole thing, seeing where they're at. And then from that point, we complete what's called a proactivity checklist once a quarter. And we run through typical questions, just make sure that they're doing everything as tax efficiently, as time efficiently as possible. Amazing. Because ultimately, we want to make sure they've got as much money in their pocket for as little time as possible.
Amazing. No, really good. And just a bit of a broad question, really. What are you seeing in the market at the moment? Because I think that it's always widely reported on the news that inflation's been big, or that there's a recession, or we go to a networking event and everybody at networking says business is amazing, we're doing really well. But what's really happening on the ground? What are you seeing?
I think people are very cost sensitive at the moment. You know, cost of living's gone right up, and like you said, that, you know, especially following COVID, that's been really tough. So everyone's really cost sensitive and price sensitive, and so looking to make savings where they can. But people are still ambitious and they still want to grow their businesses. So the right client for us is somebody that still wants to invest into their business with the vision to grow in the future, but they have to put the investment in now. So it's just about really managing people's expectations. And being sensitive to the fact that cash flow probably is a bit tight at the moment, but still offering those expertise and the help of how they can try and turn things around a bit, because ultimately we're there to help them be profitable, to make more money, to pay as little tax as possible. So if we come in with a huge, great big bill and not much value, then we're not doing our job.
No, really, really, really interesting. One of the things that I find quite interesting is in the small business world, I think a lot of small business owners that we speak to, their exit strategy or their retirement is, I'll sell my business. And I think in reality, you know, some people do sell their businesses, but often it is harder to sell your business at the right time on the right date so you're able to retire. What things could business owners really consider in terms of making their value, their business more valuable, or indeed what other strategies could they consider in terms of, I guess, kind of potentially being ready for retirement?
I think at the start of every business, you're very much involved with the day to day. So you're working in the business all the time. A natural progression is to stop working in the business so much, get a really good team in, and then just work on the business. To do that, you've got to have amazing processes in place, kind of watertight processes, because you don't want to be spending all your time micromanaging. And really, a business is only a business is in its own right if it can run without you. So obviously you want to be involved with it and you still want to have a hand in decisions and stuff, but you have to be really good at delegating. But key to that is obviously, like I said, making sure the processes are watertight so you can trust the team to just get on with it.
Absolutely. Really good advice. And I know that in your introduction, you mentioned that your clients are all across the UK. One of the things that I think we've had on this show is very patriotic, is probably the wrong word, very Oxfordotic. Loyal of Oxford. Is that the right word? Anyway.
It's in a word now.
Sorry, anyone listening at home. Oxfordotic is going into the dictionary. So I think a lot of the shows that we've done in recent months have said that Oxford seems to be a little bit like a microclimate. You've got the universities, you've got great schools, you've got the hospitals. And almost Oxford seems different to the rest of the country. Having an accountant who covers the country, is that true? Or are we just very proud of Oxfordshire?
I think we're probably just really proud of Oxfordshire. I have clients that operate in Oxfordshire and the rest of the country, and they've not reported any differences. And like, I do have clients all over the country. So I think that's probably an Oxfordism.
Good. Okay. Well, no, not less good. I was hoping that you'd say Oxford's amazing. The rest of the country's
amazing. I mean, Oxford is amazing. Oxford is amazing, but so is the rest of the country.
Good. Diplomatically pert. Right. Let's have a song and we'll continue the conversation after this.
Discussing topics that impact local businesses and their owners. This is the Business Brunch, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Before that song, we've been talking to Hayley about the world of accountancy and really how you should keep an eye on your numbers and things that you could consider. One of the things I'm keen to bring the conversation onto is some of your work with women in business. And I know that you've got quite an interesting story around that. So can you just, I guess before we move on to kind of what you're doing now, can you just kind of share in a bit more detail kind of your own story and really kind of how did you get your first step into the world of business?
So I had my first son when I was very young. So I was 19. And after I had him, I thought, well, I really need to go and get a career now and support him. And so I started studying to be an accountant, evenings and weekends, and got a job in a great little practice in Oxfordshire. And it was amazing. Being in a small practice, I got to see all sides of things, and absolutely loved it. The goal was always to have my own practice, and that's why I started studying. My auntie is an accountant and had her own practice, and I just saw that she had a great work-life balance. She always had time with her children, and that's what I wanted, while still being able to support them financially. So when I had my second son, I saw that as a perfect opportunity to set up the business. So I set up Athena while I was on maternity leave, and initially just grew it by subcontracting to some larger firms, getting work that way, set up a website, did a Google ad, the clients started kind of drip feeding in, and that's how I got into it. And then LinkedIn started and that's where things kind of really changed. I'm a big poster on LinkedIn. I'm on there every day almost. And I get a lot of business from there. And I've met not just business, but I've made amazing connections on LinkedIn. I've learned so much from so many different people that I now call friends too. And it's just the place to be. It's kind of, there's a wealth of knowledge on there, and I really advise people to tap into it.
No, absolutely. So lots of things off the back of that. So let's go right back to the start. So I guess the first thing, obviously with my recruitment hat on, I'm going to talk about early careers to start with. How hard is it to qualify to be an accountant? Because I think at school, I think a lot of us are taught that you must be really good at maths to be an accountant. You must be really academic to be an accountant. Is that true? And what is that process to go from, I guess, no experience to being a qualified accountant?
I mean, yeah, it's hard. It's really hard to get into initially. Well, it was when I started. It's not so much now. So I actually got told by a recruiter when I told him I wanted to be an accountant that I shouldn't do the qualification that I did. It was hard and I probably wouldn't be able to do it because I hadn't been to university and I should
Gosh.
probably think about doing something else. That just gave me fire in my belly and that kind of spurred me on. So I just wrote to loads of practices to try and get in. But back then, because I didn't have a degree, it was really, really difficult to get in. So I went a different route. I did a qualification called AAT. That got me in the door. And I wrote to, after I think I was 2 years into that, I wrote to a load of practices again. I tried again. And I think like 30 practices, I got one reply, all because I
Gosh.
didn't have a degree. And it was amazing. It worked out really well. They're a great practice. I loved working there. But it's very different now. It was super prestigious before. And now there are different entries into it. But yeah, it's really hard. The exams are super tough. They're meant to be. And there's a lot of studying, but it's absolutely worth it.
Amazing, amazing. And in terms of that piece, in terms of the kind of the degree versus not degree piece, what's your take on that? Do you think it's fair that businesses are prioritizing candidates potentially with a degree? Do you think there's talent that's been missed out there? I'm just quite keen to gauge your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely, because a degree isn't for everybody. Like, there's so many different people with different stories and different journeys. If you're shutting the door at anyone that doesn't have a degree, you're really missing out. Because I didn't have a degree because I had my son. So I was a mother, but I had something to really, really, I had a reason to work really, really hard. So I wanted it more than most, probably. So for me, and I don't think it's as bad now. I think it's probably quite an old-fashioned view that degrees are better than kind of different forms of studying. So it's perhaps outdated that view now, but certainly at the time it was tough to get in the door without that. And yeah, definitely missing out on people.
And one of the other things you touched on is that first shot. So the firm that you joined, you mentioned that they were quite a small firm, and they're in Oxford, and you're able to see all parts of the business and get that rounded experience. I think we do a lot of, I guess, kind of junior level recruitment, and I think the advice that I always give to candidates is when you're taking a job, try and go somewhere where you can see yourself at least medium term. Actually go somewhere where you're going to get rounded experience, but also if you can get a promotion on your CV or tangible success, it's going to make you a lot more employable. So rather than me kind of talking about what I advise, I guess from your point of view, do you think that you would have been in the right position to be able to set up your own firm if you were to join one of the big four as a real example there?
No, and I have different thoughts on that to you because my goal was always to set up my own business. I wasn't too worried about waiting to get promotion on my CV. I wanted experience. So I stayed in roles for a couple of years at a time and then I'd promote myself by moving on
Of
and finding
course.
something at a higher level. But yeah, definitely being in the smaller firm gave me access to loads and loads of different things, different services, different types of clients, different industries, the way different partners worked. So it was basically the reason why I was able to set up my practice. It would have definitely been harder had I been in a top four, say, and just been in one department because I wouldn't have seen everything else. And I've actually mentored other accountants that are in employment that want to set up their own practice before. And those that have been in bigger firms do struggle more. Not saying it can't be done, it can absolutely be done, but you do need that practice experience. And for me, it was best to have that in a small practice.
Absolutely. And what were the kind of the real, I guess, what was the real point? Because you mentioned maternity with your second son, but was there a point around that you think, do you know what? I've learnt my stripes now. I've got all of the skills that I need to press the button. And I guess when making that decision, was there a fear factor of going at it alone and thinking, oh God, I'm really worried about this part? Or was there, or were you pretty confident that actually you had it all? I'm just keen to kind of build on that.
I mean, honestly, Ben, I just hate being told what to do. So I'm really, really bad at that. So for me, it was like, as soon as I can go out alone, I'm doing it.
Great.
And now I'm probably completely unemployable. But yeah, no, it's always scary. You're always, especially if you have bills to pay and young children, it's definitely scary to go out there alone and take that leap, leaving a big salary to the uncertainty. But it's all about being brave. And if you can kind of put things in place to minimize the risk, then I say go for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So coming on to Athena, if that's okay, I'm just keen to understand how you've set the business up and I guess kind of why you've done it in that way. I think it's always a nice story. So you mentioned you've got a team across the country, follow the remote working model, you're offering business advice as well as accounts. How did that vision come together of what your accountancy firm was going to look like?
I think it just evolves over time. And I started out with a very, very clear view of what practice should be because of the practices that I'd worked in. And, you know, you should record your time. And it was all very traditional and it was done a certain way. And I'm a bit of a rebel. So I like doing things differently. And I never used to like recording my time. I thought it was really counterproductive to how I worked. And so I never did that with my practice, and it was more I work on a row basis, so results only. So my team are set up with KPIs. I monitor them. They get a bonus if they hit them. It makes them super conscious of what they're doing day in and day out.
Amazing. No, really good. Really good. Thank you so much for your thoughts so far. We'll continue the conversation after this.
The Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Hopefully, like me, you're really enjoying this conversation with Hayley. There's so many different topics that we're covering, which, yeah, really, really insightful. Hayley, one of the things you touched on in your intro is around the work that you're doing around women in business and all of the great work that you're also promoting on LinkedIn around that. I'm just quite keen to build on that in this section, if possible. Can you share how did, I guess, your passion to support women in business come about and what does that look like?
It really stems right back from before I had my own business and I was working. I've always been a working mum because I had my first son when I was young. And so it's always been a juggle and I missed out on so much with him, you know, sports days, school runs. And I hated it. I hated it. And I always said that would never happen again. So there's that element of it in wanting to support women and help them find a better work-life balance. But I think also there is maybe not typically, but I've definitely encountered women competing against each other, trying to bring each other down and seeing each other as competition. And I just don't have that view because ultimately we are all in the same boat. We have different stories and different journeys, but the value that we can bring to each other is just game changing. And I've learned that from being connected to other people in my industry that should really be my competitors, but actually we just help each other and say, well, actually, what would you do in this scenario? Or how would you react to this? And it's a real leveler. And I just think that what I wanted to do is take that out into the kind of wider community and create something for women that is a safe space for them to be unapologetically themselves, be vulnerable, grow their businesses, learn from each other. And yeah, Flock was born.
Amazing. One of the shows that we did in the past that really resonated with me was with Samantha Harmon. I'm not sure if you know Samantha, and she's the style editor. So she was a female journalist at 26, Samantha, if I've got that age wrong. I know I'm very close. I apologize if you're listening. but one of the things that was really, really interesting is she was the youngest editor in the UK, or the youngest female editor in the UK. And at the time, she was welcomed into a business. Somebody arrived and would refuse to think that she wasn't the receptionist, as opposed to the fact that she's the editor. And wow. And I think she shared a lot of stories. And please, if you're listening now, go back and listen to that show, because it's a really good one. But she shared a lot of stories in terms of, actually, as being female, there is that real, I guess, gender bias, and there is that real kind of challenge to get going. What have you seen around that piece? Like I know that there is the gender pay gap, and I know that there's been a lot of great work done by people like yourself to really support women. But what is there still a big challenge right now? And what else can be done? What can employers do to support women in the world of business?
I think, and I can only really speak from my experience, but I have found that women sometimes feel intimidated if they're in a room of men. And that can be because, well, for many different reasons, but masculinity may be a part in it, or they maybe feel like they have to step up and exude some masculine energy as well. So for me, it's really just, and why this is a women's only group, it's so they can just be themselves. They don't have to live up to any expectations. They can come in a tracksuit. They don't have to wear makeup. They can cry if they need to. So I think for me, it's really just accepting that women are different to men, and just letting them be themselves.
Absolutely. And in terms of as an employer, so if you're an employer listening right now who have women in your team and feel that actually it can be a masculine environment in times, or it can be X, or there can be this challenge, what should you do about that? And I appreciate there isn't a one size fits all, but what advice would you, I guess, give more broadly to help employers make their workplace a more inclusive place and actually get some of that great talent?
I think you just need to listen, speak to people on the ground, hear their stories, find out what's going on, and then just ask what you can do differently, how you can make it better for them, and just hear them.
No, absolutely.
I think as well, like with, especially if you have mothers, appreciate that they are probably having to juggle a lot, and they're missing out on time with their children, and that is upsetting, obviously, for fathers too. But making it a flexible environment so that they can fit their work in around their lives, not their lives in around their work.
No, absolutely. Again, as a recruiter, one of the big things that I see is that a lot of employers can miss out on the very best talent for no reason, really. Because I think that historically we've been taught that offices work 9 to 5 and that we should be at our desk. And I know that hybrid working and flexible working has become so much more of a thing. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, I think that nobody that I've met wants to do a bad job. So staff want to do well. They want to do a good job. Businesses want to make money. They want to do well. And actually, if you've got that common goal, it doesn't really matter how you get there and have that conversation around it. So no, certainly some good food for thought there.
Yeah.
One of the other things that you touched on earlier in the show was around LinkedIn. You are very active on LinkedIn and you get a huge amount of engagement, which I'm sure the whole of the UK are jealous of. But in all seriousness, how did LinkedIn come about for you? And how have you got such engagement on LinkedIn? And you can be really, really... confident, like you deserve to be here, and just say, just because I put great posts out, Ben. But no, in all seriousness, how do you do it?
Just being myself. And you know, I very, very rarely post about accountancy or tax or anything like that. I promote my businesses, I tell people what we're doing, obviously, but for me, it's people buy from people. And I'm just myself on there. I see so often people saying sorry, this isn't, I know this isn't Facebook, or sorry, non-business related post. Like, don't apologize. That's your LinkedIn. People want to know you as a person. And I'm all for that. I don't know. I don't know why. I guess I'm quite real on there. I'm honest. I talk about things that go wrong too. You know, it's not all glitz and glamour, and nor should it be. People, I think, engage with you when they see that you've been through things, or that things aren't going great, things have gone wrong, but you're still trying. And then you post, you know, what is going good. And it just gives people hope, and hopefully inspire people to not give up. And I think that's all you can do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, really, really honest answer there. Thank you. On that note, and I'm going to ask you a really personal question here.
So, oh God.
So you can say, Ben, mind your own business on the radio. Do you get business out of LinkedIn? How does it work for you in terms of like winning business? Do you win clients through LinkedIn?
Mm-hmm. I get the majority of my business from LinkedIn.
Amazing.
Actually, because like I said, people do buy from people. So as long as people know what you do, and it's very visible on there. And you talk about that too, obviously. For me, it's just being myself. And then people get to know you. They start to like you. And people, like, if you've got a professional advisor, what's the main thing you want from them? Like, you want to be able to trust them. Mm. You don't want someone you can't trust or someone that you don't like. So if you're approachable and you're more human, you're not just a robotic accountant talking about tax all the time, you're going to get business. So, yeah, I get the majority of mine through there.
Amazing. Again, we regularly ask, like, what are the topics that people want to discuss on this show? And I think that big things that have come up, of course, is your finance, your marketing. But I think probably the biggest topic that's come out is winning new business. So it's certainly is a really, really interesting, really, really interesting feedback there.
Yeah.
So let's, I think you've shared such an incredible story, and thank you for that. There's so many, we could probably do a whole show about each topic, but I think what would be really good to talk about now is really kind of the future of Hayley Lucas. What does the future of you look like? What's the future of Athena? What's the future of other business ventures? Like what's coming next?
World domination. Is that the answer? Really just continuing on the same path. Athena just continues to grow, and I want to give the team I've got an even bigger team, so continuing to grow there, but not just for my business. I want to keep on helping clients and changing the face of accountancy, so it isn't just this stuffy old hard to understand industry. This is some, you know, people don't like getting a phone call from their accountant, they dread it, or a letter from them. Mm-hmm. And I want to change that. You know, I want to be that exciting accountant that people look forward to meeting with, because they come out of it like buzzing and with loads of great ideas. So changing the face of accountancy is definitely a big goal of mine, but also with my new business Flock, just growing that to so it's kind of all over the country, and women everywhere know what it is and know that it's a place that they can turn to when they run a business. You know, it takes elements of so many different things, and I want it to be really accessible for all women. So yeah, just continue what I'm doing, but also really importantly for me, being home and present with my children, that nothing comes at that cost. So
amazing.
Juggling. Continuing
amazing, amazing. So on the note of juggling, I've got three questions off the back of that. So
okay.
Being at home with your family is definitely a massive driver for you. And I think so many people would have listened to today and thought, wow, two successful businesses, done really well, but still putting family first. If somebody is listening right now and thinking, do you know what, I'd love to spend more time with my family, and I would love to be a present mother or a present father, and just not doing it, what should they do first? What's your advice?
You need to look at your business that you've got at the moment, look at all the processes, see what you can delegate out. Make sure your time is just spent doing what you do best and making the most money you can, so that then all the other little tasks can be given to somebody else, and that frees up a lot of your time. That's how I started it. That's how I grew my team, so that I'm not doing the client work anymore, apart from the kind of high level finance director stuff. the stuff that kind of really, really has my passion. Make sure you have a great team in place. That's trial and error, definitely. It took me a while to get there, but I have an amazing team of girls now. So yeah, delegate, make sure your process is watertight, like we said earlier. Make sure you're really managing your time and prioritizing your time. And also, like, I posted about this today, don't sweat the small stuff. Like, put your energy into things that really deserve your energy, and don't waste it worrying about things that actually aren't that big of a problem.
No, absolutely. Can relate to all of those points, but I think certainly the final point, what one of the things that somebody once said to me, which again really, really resonated, is everything you do in business, when you have a sleepless night or get really stressed, you always need to think, is will you remember, will you think about that in a year's time? Because actually, if you won't, why are you getting stressed about it? Which again, always really resonated.
Yeah.
So let's go on to Flock. So if somebody's listening and they really want to get involved, they want to find out more, they want to they want to learn more about that. How do they do that? And I guess who is it suited to? Who can get involved?
So they can find me on LinkedIn. We can have a chat. Or go onto the website, flock.business. The registration form is on there. But really, it is targeted at leaders in business or female entrepreneurs that have their own business, who are ambitious, who want to invest in themselves and are willing to put the time in to grow their business, grow themselves, better themselves, and really take things to a different level. Also, women that are willing to share their expertise and help people too, because it's kind of, it works both ways within Flock. The whole setup of it is based upon what you get out of it is what you put into it. So yeah, those kind of women, ambitious, ready to move forward.
Amazing. No, really, really good. And I'm sure based on the order of those two questions, you can guess my third question is just around Athena. So if somebody's listening right now, what do they need to do if they want to talk to, if they're not happy with their current accountant, they feel that they need more support, what should they do?
Again, website athenaaccountants.co.uk, inquiry form on there. We can book in a one-to-one discovery call so I can find out more about their business, see whether we would be a good fit for them, or else speak to me on LinkedIn. I'm always on there, as you just said. And yeah, one-to-one really is what we need to have initially, because you need to see if we're a good, we need to see if we're a good fit for each other and how each other works. I like to kind of really find out about people's goals first, to see where they want to take things. So yeah, get in touch with me and book a meeting.
Oh, perfect. We are starting to come towards the latter stint of the show. And one of the things that I love to do with guests, which feels really harsh on you, Hayley, because you've given so many tips, but I really like to sort of share a tip with those listening. So I'm going to ask you to give two tips though on the two different topics. They can be things we've already covered. They don't need to be fresh, or they could be something fresh. So I guess if you were to give a tip to somebody listening now, whether it be somebody that runs a business or somebody that is looking to run a business, what would I guess be your number one tip if you could give one thing?
Oh god, there's so many.
You can have a couple if you like.
I think if it's a business really wanting to grow, really, I think thinking five steps ahead is super important. But in order to do that, you really need to know who you are and what you want. So really get clear on your vision, get clear on your target market, understand your products. So it's just knowing that whole cycle really clearly and then setting a strategy for how you want it to be in, say, 5 years' time, and then working backwards to fill in the gaps for those five steps. That's quite broad for a tip, but...
It's good. It's a detailed tip. It's a real detailed tip. And then my final part of the show, I promise, and this is my final tip that I want to get out of you, is really around this piece around home life balance, family life, young entrepreneur, women in business. Under that umbrella, I think so many people listening right now will be in awe of you. They really, really will. And like, if you could focus on one thing you've done there, like what is the one thing, one piece of advice under that umbrella that you feel would help somebody, 19-year-old you listening now?
Learn to say no. So you're not spreading yourself too thin. It's hard to say no. Mm. And if you say yes to too much, you take the meetings, That's going to take away time with your children. If you take on too much work, or it's not quite the right client for you, it's going to just take away all of your time. So be really picky with your time. It's your key resource and it's super valuable. So say no to things and really prioritize what you're doing with your time.
Amazing. They do say time is the one thing you can never get back. But amazing. Well, what a way to end the show. But Hayley, thank you so much for taking the time to spend the show with us. You've given such insight. But that is the end of the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, on Get Radio today. Been really delighted to be joined by Hayley Lucas of Athena Accountants and Business Advisors. If you don't currently follow Hayley on LinkedIn, definitely do that as a real minimum, because she shares some really, really great content. Just a reminder, we will be back next week with some brand new guests, and we're going to be talking about the world of marketing. So to do that, we are joined by Neil Stratford of Thomas Leach Colour, Simon Hicks of Rocket Fuel Creative, and Jordan Farah of Acoda SEO. Finally, just a reminder, you can listen to this show on the radio or online every Sunday at 11 a.m. There is also a podcast format available on all your favourite podcast platforms, which is available on the Monday morning. And do look out for the video format so you can see me and my lovely guests, which is available on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for now, enjoy your roast dinner and we'll see you next week.